heresies and inventions of the Roman Catholic Church since 300 A.D. Now, in this video, ladies and gentlemen, I will be quoting from a book called Roman Catholicism, written by a man by the name of Lorraine Boatner. And at the beginning of that book, he has a list of heresies and inventions of the Catholic Church since 300 A.D. So that's what I'm going to be basing this video on. I'll be reading the list, and then I'll be interjecting different things on some of the different items. Obviously, if I were to go through this each point, you could really expound, and it would take you literally hours upon hours. So I just want you to see the list of these heresies. That's exactly what they are, the heresies. They're inventions, the things that were invented by the Church of Rome. The point I'm making here today in this video, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Roman Catholic Church is presenting a gospel that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you mix things such as this, these heresies, these inventions of the Church of Rome, it makes void the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Once again, I speak to you as a former Roman Catholic. So a lot of these things I know very well. I practice these things, ladies and gentlemen. And if you are a former Roman Catholic, you know that what I'm talking about here is true. So when I go through this list point by point, you can look these things up for yourself if you want to do your own study. But I'll be bringing forth, as I said, I'll interject on some of the main ones that you should know. The point I want to make here, once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you can listen to a list like this, read a list like this, and have no problem with the Church of Rome, then I would have a question to you. Do you really know the Lord? Do you really stand for the truth? I mean, we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're talking about truth. We're talking about salvation. So keep that in mind as I go through this list. So number one in 300 AD, prayers for the dead. 380, number two, making the sign of the cross. Number three, 320 AD, wax candles. Number four, 375 AD, the veneration of angels and dead saints and the use of images. Let me just quote a scripture here from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, the practice in the Roman Catholic Church of saints, they create their own saints. You have saint this and saint that. They made the late Mother Teresa a saint. The late Pope John Paul II, they made him a saint. Think about this now. So people are now praying to those people that formerly walked the earth. This is idolatry. You're making a god. You're making a god out of these people. You're interceding to people whom the Lord never told you to intercede to. There is one God, ladies and gentlemen. And when you think about somebody such as the former Pope John Paul II, this was a man who once referred to true born-again believers down in, I believe it was Brazil, he called them rapacious wolves. You know, the true Christians were evangelizing down there and trying to lead the Catholics to Christ, which goes on everywhere, by the way, around the world. I do it. So he called them rapacious wolves. So think about this. So now people are praying to this man. And you see, this is the work of Satan. Satan wants to take your eyes off of the only mediator, the only one who can help you, whose name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Item number five in 394 AD, the Mass. That's the Catholic Mass as a daily celebration. In 1 Peter 3 and 18, it says, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. Roman Catholic, go straight to the Lord. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a Catholic mass. And this is, I speak as a former Roman Catholic. This is freedom. This is victory for the Roman Catholics. Here's a passage of Scripture that I use frequently. I love this passage of Scripture. This is freedom. This is liberty for you, whoever you are, whether you're Catholic or not. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, or perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget that passage of Scripture. Write down that reference. Read it in your Bible and read it again. And when you're done with that, read it again and get it into your heart. Get it into your spiritual system. And I want you to know that the price has been paid and that Christ died for the ungodly. That includes you and that includes me, folks. And when you come to the place where you realize that you are, in fact, ungodly in the sight of God, and you realize that there's nothing you can do to save yourself outside of Christ, then there's hope for you, ladies and gentlemen. And the good news is that he died for the ungodly. Look at verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us," that's the ungodly, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And it tells us in verse 9, "Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." This is what needs to be preached all over the world, ladies and gentlemen, that Christ came, that Christ paid the price, that I am now justified. This former Roman Catholic, this former altar boy who lived in torment, wondering whether I would go to purgatory and wondering if I did enough in my mortal sins and my venial sins, but the truth set me free. And I know today that I've been justified by the blood of Christ. I've been born again of the Spirit. That's victory, folks. You see? And that's why I'm preaching this today. Look at verse 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Ladies and gentlemen, this is the good news. This is the gospel. Formerly an enemy was I to Christ. Oh, yes. On my way to hell, folks, on my way to hell, going to Catholic Mass week after week and on my way to hell. But now I understand, because of the truth of the Scriptures, that I am now reconciled back to God as a result of the death of his Son. Look at that. "And much more being reconciled, I shall be saved by his life." Glory to God. No matter who you are, young or old, if you're a Roman Catholic out there, if you're not, it doesn't matter. You still need the Lord. If you're young, perhaps suicidal thoughts enter your mind. There's no hope, especially during the time in which we're living. You feel hopeless. You just feel vacant inside. You feel a hole inside your heart. You wake up every morning. You say, "What's this life about?" Well, hear me now. There's hope for you. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll understand why you're here on this earth. Glory to God. Back to the list. Number 6, 431 AD, the beginning of the exaltation of Mary. The term Mother of God first applied to her by the Council of Ephesus. Look at that. So you see the stage is being set for the exaltation of Mother Mary. Oh yes, Mother Mary big in the Roman Catholic Church, praying the rosary. I did it for years, folks. My Hail Mary prayers, counting them off on the beads. And I'm here to tell you today that God does not have a mother. I don't want to disappoint you. God does not have a mother. That would make her a god herself. That would make her deity. Mary was a woman, ladies and gentlemen. She was used powerfully by God. She was absolutely blessed, but she's not the mother of God. There's one mediator, folks, not hundreds. There's not thousands. There's one mediator. You see, this is the bondage of the Church of Rome and keeps people under this thing with Mary, under this dominion of the Catholic Church. And it's all energized, listen now, by the father of lies, Satan himself, the devil himself, wants to get you trusting somebody, a counterfeit God, known here as Mary, Mother Mary. Hear me now. Mary cannot even hear you. Never heard my Hail Marys. This is something you've been taught, you've been brainwashed, and today can be the day of freedom and liberation for you. 1 Timothy 2 and 5, what does it say? It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Glory to God. I thank God for Jesus Christ. I really do. Where would I be? I say it often. Where would I be without the Lord? What is the point of this life without the Lord? I mean, you live and then you die. I mean, what is the point of living this life without the Lord Jesus Christ? You live, you acquire things in this life, you acquire goods, you might buy a house or this, you buy a boat, you get this. I remember seeing a bumper sticker many years ago, he who dies with the most toys wins. You win nothing. You win absolutely nothing. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Listen to me, folks. I'm not being presumptuous. Can a person know the way to heaven? Can a person know how to get to heaven? Yes, they can. Look at what Jesus said here in John 14, verses 3 to 6. He said this, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So right then and there, ladies and gentlemen, we have Jesus Christ telling Thomas and the others, obviously, too, the way. And he said, I am the way. The way is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. It's something you need to remember. There is no other way. He is the way. And he says, nobody's coming to the Father unless you come through him. Now, let me interject here. Another scripture passage from the Gospel of John related to Thomas. Now, think about that. Jesus just told Thomas the way. He said, I am the way. And think about this. After Christ was crucified on the cross, okay, buried, and then he rose from the dead. And now the other disciples already had seen Jesus, and they told Thomas, but he didn't believe it. You know, he basically said, I'll believe it when I see it, you know, when I see the nail prints in his hands, and I see that gash in his side, then I'll believe it. And this is one of the disciples who walked very close with the Lord, by the way. So let's pick it up here in John 20, verses 24 to 31. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, or Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Hallelujah! Glory to God! That's totally awesome, folks. So here, Thomas had a front row seat. Christ rose from the dead. Christ heard what he said 8 days previous to this occasion here. And now the Lord appears and says, come here, Thomas. Come here. Stick your fingers into the holes in my hands and plunge your hand into my side, Thomas. You know, don't be faithless, but believe. And what did Thomas say when he saw the Lord? Listen, Jehovah's Witness. My Lord and my God. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. So that's good news, folks. We're talking about the good news relating to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let's get back to the list here. Number 7, 500 AD, priests began to dress differently from laymen. So if you're a Roman Catholic or an ex-Roman Catholic, you know, you'd often see the priests walking the streets, not the streets, well, walking around the church, but sometimes in the street probably, with those long black robes. I mean, as an altar boy, we used to have this long black robe we would wear, you know. Also, you know, when you did the Catholic Mass, had like 100 buttons, not 100, but I mean, it was just this endless line of buttons before you buttoned every one of them. And, you know, somehow you think you're holy. You know, you're walking around with these long robes. What does the scriptures tell us? Luke 20, verses 46 and 47, Jesus said, beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Whoa, heavy duty. Back to the list. Number 8, 526 AD, extreme unction. This is talking about, you know, when a Catholic dies, you know, like last rites, the priest is going to come and pray for them before they officially die. So that's another thing that is taught in the Roman Catholic system. Number 593 AD, the doctrine of purgatory established by Gregory the First. Oh, yes, this is a biggie. So, you know, as I've said many times before, the place called purgatory, ladies and gentlemen, it's a make-believe place. You know, Jesus Christ, he preached heaven and he preached hell. You know, when I was born again, when I was truly saved and I knew the Lord, you know, the Spirit of the living God bore witness with my spirit that I was a child of God. I knew, you know, it was either heaven or hell. How did I know this? By the Spirit of God, folks. And, you know, coming out from darkness, when you're saved, you realize, man, you were lost prior to your conversion. So, you know, you realize you're surrounded by people, friends, relatives, people everywhere. You talk to people, you know. In fact, you try to tell them, you know, about these things, and they don't receive it. You know, remember this, a blind man cannot see. Don't ever forget that. A blind man cannot see. So when you be trying to tell them things, they really don't understand what you're saying most of the time, or they don't want to hear it. So, but it's true, folks. It's either heaven or hell. And that has never left me since I've been saved, folks. And that's why I evangelize. The scriptures are true, ladies and gentlemen. So this whole teaching of purgatory, to this day, people pray for dead Roman Catholic relatives and friends. They will have mass cards where they'll have a priest pray for people who have died years ago. Years ago, they're still praying for that. You know, it's an abomination, actually. You know, Jesus, as I said, he preached heaven and he preached hell. He preached salvation and he preached damnation. So the money over the centuries, over the centuries, we're talking, oh my, billions upon billions of dollars, people donating money to have masses said for their loved ones. I mean, it is incredible, ladies and gentlemen. Still go on to this day. You go into a Roman Catholic funeral parlor, they'll have what's known as a mass card stand, and people walk in and hand that mass card to the person related to the deceased, and they'll take it, and it's a clip, and when each mass card will be held by a clip, looks like a little tree. So I mean, think about this. They're praying for people who are dead already, Okay. Now, either those people knew the Lord or they didn't. Either they were saved and born again of the Spirit or they weren't. So, you know, I knew this, folks, when I was saved, when I came out of the darkness of Roman Catholicism. It's horrible that it's still going on. What's even worse is that few people, Protestant ministers in this day and age of apostasy, they never even warn the people or talk to the people about these things. They work hand in hand with the Church of Rome. And that's something you need to know. Back to the list. Number 10, 600 AD, the Latin language was used in prayer and worship, imposed by Gregory the First. 600 AD, also number 11, prayers directed to Mary, dead saints and angels, about 600 AD. You know, praying for the dead, praying to the dead, I should say, that's necromancy. You know, conjuring up spirits, people who are dead. You know, this is a cult, folks. And then this is all, this is heresy. These are inventions of the Church of Rome. Don't ever forget that. So, 607 AD, number 12, the title of Pope or Universal Bishop given to Boniface III. That's another Pope. So, you know, the Pope believes himself to be the universal head, you know, over the entire Christian Church. Oh, yes, he does. And that's their official teaching, folks. So when you see these unity meetings, such as took place in 1986 in Assisi, Italy, Pope John Paul II had all the leaders of the major world religions. I mean, there were witch doctors there, Muslims, Buddhists, this and that. They're all getting together, you know. They're all praying to God. And now think about this, folks. That's wicked. Has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said he was the only way. You see? So when you see things like this taking place with this Pope that he's the universal bishop, you see, he wants to gather everything all under his wing. That's the Church of Rome, folks. That's the way they work. Back to the list, number 13, 709 AD. Kissing the Pope's foot began with Pope Constantine. I know the kiss in the ring. I don't think they're doing the kiss in the feet in the modern day, unless it's something I don't know. Item number 14, 750 AD, temporal power of the popes conferred by Pepin, king of the Franks. So you can see the exaltation, the power that's being given to this man. It's growing. You see how this whole thing is growing in his Roman Catholic system. So this is 750 AD, but it's not biblical. Not biblical at all. Matthew 23:8-9. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. So this temporal power being given to a man, once again, it's an invention. It's a heresy of Rome. It has nothing to do with biblical Christianity. This is what I am trying to drive home here today, folks. This has nothing to do with biblical Christianity. People are being sucked up into this thing. All roads lead to Rome. You've heard that before. It's true. All roads lead to Rome. You turn on the so-called Christian television. You'll see people working hand in hand with Rome. Folks, it's incredible. I mean, if you're a pastor listening to this and you're into that stuff, you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to warn your congregation before it is too late. Back to the list, number 15 in 786 AD, worship of the cross, images and relics authorized. You know, relics is another thing, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you're talking, sometimes it'll be a piece of a dead body of somebody that they believe was a saint or a Christian, a famous Christian. If you remember, there was a man's heart, and I spoke about this before. We're talking about a physical heart here now. This is sick. A physical heart being carried around the country. You know, this was the saint, what they call Saint Jean Vianney. This was carried around to all the states, the 48 states here. I think it traveled 36,000 miles, ladies and gentlemen. And there would be, it's like, you know how rock groups go on tour? They go from state to state or sometimes country to country. This was a tour for a man's heart. It was incorrupt, they say. This is demonic. This is from the pit of hell. A man's heart, and people think there's something holy about this, and they're traveling the country with this guy's heart. You know, this is what these relics are about. You know, you'll read about, I think, they have parts of hands and of people. I think John the Baptist's head, they say, is something somewhere. And it goes on and on, or pieces of clothing, hair from the this and that. And it's unbelievable, folks. It's witchcraft. This has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ at all. And that's the purpose of me doing this video here today, to get that across to you, ladies and gentlemen. This is unbelievable stuff. Back to the list. Number 16, 850 AD, holy water mixed with a pinch of salt and blessed by a priest. 890 AD, number 17, worship of Saint Joseph. Number 18, 927 AD, College of Cardinals established. Number 19, 965 AD, baptism of bells instituted by Pope John the 13th. Number 20, 995 AD, the canonization of dead saints first by Pope John the 15th. So that's another thing, as I said, mentioned before, the Roman Catholic, they canonized, they say this is a saint. The people in their eyes that did these holy things or lived a certain way, and they had to have certain miracles attributed to what they did, such as Mother Teresa and so on and so forth. And they make them saints. And next thing you know, the people are praying to them. Next thing you know, people have pictures of them or medals made with their face on it or something of the like. This is all idolatry. That's all it is idolatry. What does it have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Absolutely nothing. That's right. So don't ever forget that. Number 21, in 998 AD, fasting on Fridays and during Lent. I remember these things. You know, Lent comes once a year, and you know, growing up, you go to Catholic church and Catholic grammar school, and you said you had to give up something. You had to give up something for Lent. And I used to kid around and say, I'm giving up liver. I hated liver. So, you know, all these traditions, these are all inventions. These are all heresies of the Church of Rome. Number 22. 11th century, the Mass developed gradually as a sacrifice. Attendance was made obligatory. That's right. It's a mortal sin if you miss Mass on Sunday. So you have mortal sin, you have venial sin. So this was a biggie. Number 23, 1079 AD, celibacy of the priesthood. You know, they're not supposed to get married. But, you know, if you search the scriptures, you'll find Peter had a wife. You see, so once again, heresy, inventions of the Church of Rome. Number 24, 1090 AD, the rosary, the mechanical praying with beads invented by Peter the Hermit. So you got the set of rosary beads. I've had many sets of rosary beads. I always used to like the cheapest set. Oh, it was made out of plastic, but it glowed in the dark. And I like that. I used to hang it on a doorknob and then close the door and then open the door real quick and say, whoa, look at this. It's glowing. Yeah. Well, heresy, invention. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women, blessed fruit of thy womb. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of death. Amen. Over and over, by rote. I was on my way to hell, folks, praying my rosary. I didn't know the truth. I did not know the truth. I did not know the truth. I was not studying the Bible. You know, I wish somebody would have pulled me aside and said, this is the word of God. This is the truth. As a young man, but it didn't happen, folks. It didn't happen. So I'm making it happen today for you. If you're searching for the truth, and I mean that, if you are searching for the truth. So Hail Mary prayers have been said by the billions. Rosary bead sets, probably sold by the billions. Much money being made in stores, Catholic stores, and whatever. I mean, this is all idolatry once again. Number 25. 1184 AD, the Inquisition instituted by the Council of Verona. When you're talking about the Inquisition, folks, you're dealing with the Church of Rome and how they deal with what they say are heretics. The Inquisition is probably one of the most wicked things that ever came into this world. It's the murder of innocent people, the murder of true Christians that stood against the Church of Rome. And there are enough things on the books, their own teachings, even Thomas Aquinas, where they speak out and validate the execution of Christians. You can search these things out for yourself. It's true. It's wicked. Hear me now, folks. The people that have been killed by the Church of Rome, it's in the millions, and they will try to tell you otherwise. They have smothered the truth, rewritten these things. Folks, hear me. The torture they put upon people was absolutely unbelievable, incredible. And this is the Church of Rome. By the way, the doctrines of Rome, they do not ever change. Number 26, 1190 AD, the Seal of Indulgence is still going on today, not in the same way as it did in the time of the Reformation, in the time of Martin Luther, where people were throwing their money into that chest in the St. Peter's Basilica, that whole thing. You know, they paid for that with that money, folks. People are saying you can be forgiven of this sin and that sin. You can pray for your lost loved ones that they might get out of purgatory sooner. And so people were throwing money into that chest, but the indulgences that go on today are still going on today. If you watch certain events or participate in certain Catholic events, even for the youth, even if you do it by social media such as Twitter, people you can get an indulgence. This is time off of purgatory. So this make-believe place called purgatory that does not even exist, you can get time off of that. So you see, the bondage, it's like a net. So this church holds people in this net. And the reason I'm doing this today, ladies and gentlemen, is that you might be set free and break free. And don't listen to the lies of the Church of Rome any longer. Okay, 1215 AD, transubstantiation proclaimed by Pope Innocent III. This is the abomination of abominations, that a priest can change the bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. I'll put an image up there on the screen. You see what's known as a monstrance. In the middle, you see this white circle. What is that? That's a piece of bread. It's known as a host. And they believe that that is the consecrated body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. They believe that that is Jesus Christ. Take a good look at that so you know. This is also known as the Blessed Sacrament. Oh, yes. And you'll see people, they'll have youth meetings where they hold this monstrance up, either on video or maybe live. And this is what they believe. This is big, folks. This is super big. They have congresses of the Holy Eucharist that take place every few years or something with the Pope, and it's all worldwide, all about it. They call it the Eucharistic Congress. My, oh my, this is the worship of that Eucharistic piece of bread, that wafer host. They believe that that is Jesus Christ. So when you talk about joining hands with Rome, folks, this is what you are joining with. And you know, when I came out of the Church of Rome, folks, I could not be silent. I would tell everybody, and still do, pastors, but there's a cloud. I'm telling you, there's a cloud. They have been seduced. Many people have big ministries, and they work hand-in-hand with people who work hand-in-hand with Rome. And the reason they don't say anything is because they know that they probably won't be allowed on their television show anymore, or it's going to create a disturbance. It might their donations might go down. Oh, yes. And this is where we are in the body of Christ today in this present day, folks. So if this is the abomination of abominations, that a priest can change bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's blasphemy. Number 28, 1215 AD, auricular confession of sins to a priest instead of to God, instituted by Pope Innocent III in the Lateran Council. So that's when a person goes into a confessional booth, which I've done many times. You go and you kneel and you confess your sins to a priest. There'd be two separate parts should be somebody on one side, the priest in the middle, and then somebody on the other side where he had a little sliding door, and he'd close your door when he's listening to the other person, and when he's done with that person, he shuts that door, and then he opens the door where you are, and you confess your sin. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been 7 weeks since my last confession. I disobeyed my mother 18 times. And you go on and on and on. I remember doing it, and I remember lying as I was doing it too. So, you know, folks, this is bondage. It's heresy. It's an invention of the Church of Rome. Number 29, 1220 AD, the Adoration of the Wafer Host, decreed by Pope Honorius III. Well, Honorius, I don't know how you pronounce it exactly, but yeah, you're talking about adoration of that same wafer host that I spoke to you about, that they believe is the body and blood of Jesus Christ himself. So 1229 AD, number 30, the Bible forbidden to laymen, placed on the index of forbidden books by the Council of Toulouse. This is unbelievable, folks. Think about this. You're taking the Bible. You're taking the scriptures. And it's on the list, the index of forbidden books. You want to talk about the devil being inside a church, the devil being inside an institution? The devil hates the Word of God. Why? Because it is the truth that sets a soul free. Oh, yes. And during the time of the Reformation, when people were trying to copy the scriptures, sometime hand by, you know, line by line. That's how they did it. I mean, the great work that they did, just because they wanted to get the scriptures into the hands of the common people because of the Church of Rome trying to smother it and saying it's not for regular people, it's not for the laymen. Now, think about that. If this was going on today, I would have never heard the truth. I would have never had to have a Bible. Think about this. So this is the Church of Rome forbidden. And I thank God for the time of the Reformation when people started printing Bibles. Think of people like William Tyndale. Think of all the people that sacrificed their lives, that were put to death, burnt at the stake, trying to get the Word of God into the hands of the common people. And if you're a Christian today, you can thank them. Be grateful for people like that, men and women who sacrificed their lives so we could have the Word of God. And here's the Church of Rome trying to smother the truth. Can you imagine that? It's the truth. It's the seed of the Word of God by which we're born again. Peter said that. 1 Peter 1:23 to 25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. When you preach the Word, ladies and gentlemen, things happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll never forget that. Number 31, 1251 AD, the scapula invented by Simon Stock, an English monk. I've heard about the brown scapula. I've spoken about that before. People wear a brown scapula, and they're taught that Mary will pluck them out of purgatory the first Saturday after they die. Okay? You see what I'm talking about here, folks? It's an invention. It's heresy. Where do you find that in the scriptures? Jesus had preached the gospel. And nothing about wearing a scapula. Man-made invention. Can you imagine how much money's been made on things like that? The brown scapula. I used to have what's known as the green scapula. All of these trinkets. Man-made inventions. Man-made heresy. Nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number 32, 1414 AD. Cup forbidden to the people at communion by the Council of Constance. Number 33, 1439 AD. Purgatory proclaimed as a dogma by the Council of Florence. So sometimes you'd have things being practiced and then they became official doctrines. And that was the case. As I said, I already spoke about purgatory with you, about, you know, that it does not exist. It's a make-believe place. It gives people a hope as if maybe I can hang out in purgatory before I eventually make it up to heaven. No, folks, there is no purgatory. Number 34, 1439 AD, the doctrine of seven sacraments affirmed. The Roman Catholic Church, they have the seven sacraments. They say we are the only true church. That's a fact, folks. You take a look at what they're preaching today and what they used to preach. It does not change. They believe they are the only true church in the world. You must understand this. The only true church in the world. We're the church. We're the only church with seven sacraments. Oh, yes. So, number 35, 1508 AD, the Ave Maria, part of the last half, was completed 50 years later and approved by Pope Sixtus V at the end of the 16th century. You used to hear that song, sung in the Catholic Church, Ave Maria. So this is what it means to be a Roman Catholic, ladies and gentlemen. Number 36, 1534 AD, the Jesuit order founded by Loyola. There's an organization that was banned from many countries, and they're like a military Catholic institution, folks. I'm not going to get into that. You can do your own study on them. Think about it today, though. We have a Jesuit Pope. Don't forget that either. So let's go to number 37, 1545 AD. Tradition declared of equal authority with the Bible by the Council of Trent. This is where the rubber meets the road. When you take man-made traditions, such as I've been reading here, the heresies and the inventions of the Church of Rome, and you put it on an equal level with the scriptures, you're going to meet a bad end, folks. Oh, yes, that's what's going to happen. It doesn't work. Mark 7, verses 7 and 9, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. Oh yes, you mix tradition, man-made tradition with the scriptures, folks. It's disastrous. And that's why the Church of Rome is the Church of Rome. That's why I speak out against it. Number 38, 1546 AD, the apocryphal books added to the Bible by the Council of Trent. So basically, those extra books, quite a few extra books added to the Bible, that was a response to the Reformation. And you had extra writings, extra books, a couple of extra chapters in a book of Daniel. And you're never going to find the Lord or his disciples quoting from these apocryphal writings. You know, there's a flavor to the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. There's an anointing upon the word of God. And that was not found in the apocryphal books. And, you know, there's a saying that says, when in doubt, throw it out. And that's basically what they did. This was never accepted as being canonical by the originators. So this is something, as I said, came, that was only made official at the Council of Trent. So here we are in the year 1546 AD. So the Council of Trent, they fought against the Reformation. Don't ever forget that. So, but keep in mind, the Church of Rome never changes. Number 39, 1560 AD, the Creed of Pope Pius IV imposed as official creed. Number 40, 1854 AD, the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary, proclaimed by Pope Pius IX. So not too long ago, 1854 AD, they come up with the Immaculate Conception, that Mary herself was conceived without sin. It's a lie. It's not true. It's a man-made heresy. It's an invention. Mary was not conceived without sin. She was a sinner. My Bible tells me in Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That includes Mary. Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes Mary. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Includes Mary's heart. Psalm 130 verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? So we all fall short, ladies and gentlemen. Mary would not stand up as being sinless. There's only one person who would be able to show themselves to be sinless, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. That's why he is the only way. Glory to God. Number 41, 1864 AD, the Syllabus of Errors, proclaimed by Pope Pius IX and ratified by the Vatican Council, condemned the freedom of religion, conscience, speech, press, and scientific discoveries, which are disapproved by the Roman Church, asserted the Pope's temporal authority over all civil rulers. Oh, yes. So you see that the Pope, he wants to be the king, the ruler of the whole world. You see that? They want to tell the world what to do. And you know, I'm amazed. I have to tell you, I'm amazed how people don't see this. You know, that people join hands with the Church of Rome. And you know, I know we have a minor doctrinal differences, but we all believe basically the same thing. That's not true. That's not true. Take it from a former Roman Catholic. When you're born again of the Spirit, folks, your life is changed dramatically. When the Spirit of God comes inside the heart, when the Scriptures light up to you and come alive, you read the Bible and you say, this cannot be. And you examine the Scriptures, you examine the teachings of Rome, and I told you how I did that, even with the apparitions of Mary in Medjugorje and all the other apparitions. It's not Mary. It's fraud. Because the truth shows me that these are demon spirits and coming forth with messages that are from the pit of hell. And mixing it with the name Jesus and so on and so forth, preaching Roman Catholic doctrines. That's what you'll find those apparitions doing. Telling the visionaries, the people who would see these apparitions, telling them, pray your rosary to fight off the devil. Folks, when I was born again, I threw my rosary in the garbage because it was the devil who was behind it. It's the word of God that sets a person free. You can read about the spiritual arm of God and what God's word tells you to do when you're in spiritual warfare. And the rosary is not mentioned in the list of things to do when it talks about putting on the armor of God, and the devil knows it. The devil knows it. So he has people doing these things, and he keeps them wrapped up in his arms. He's got them in a spiritual headlock, just like I was. And it was the truth that set me free. Hallelujah. Number 42, 1870 AD, infallibility of the Pope in matters of faith and morals proclaimed by the Vatican Council. Think about this. So the Pope, they believe, is infallible. This is the Pope who rides around in his Pope mobile, people bowing before him, kissing his ring. Now think about this. Over in Chiapas, Mexico, several years ago, I think it was around 2015, 16, somewhere in there, he's over there in Mexico. There was millions of fans adoring him. Meanwhile, in the same town, true Christians were having their electricity turned off, the water turned off. Some of them had their houses taken away, their goods confiscated, and some were thrown into jail. Yeah, I never heard the Pope utter one word, one syllable regarding that. And you can say that about the newspapers, too, why it's never mentioned, folks. In fact, I found out it was in the Christian Post. So you're not going to find this in the mainstream, folks. We're dealing with a system that I call it a monster, folks. And it's hard to believe that pulpits are not filled with ministers warning people about these things. And it's truly a sad day that we are living in. Number 43, 1930 AD, public schools condemned by Pope Pius XI. You see, the Church of Rome, they want to grab the children while they're young. They want to grab them when they're young. They want to train them up in the ways of Rome. So what the Church of Rome wants to do, they want to train up your children. They want you to follow the ways of Rome, to follow the Pope's ways. And you'll be in bondage to the Church of Rome for the rest of your life. Oh, yes, you will. So, number 44, 1950 AD, the Assumption of the Virgin Mary, the bodily ascension into heaven shortly after her death, proclaimed by Pope Pius XII. So, you know, here we have 1950. I mean, we're talking not too long ago. that came up with this heresy, this invention that Mary, she was assumed. It's like an ascension of Mary into heaven. It's satanic. It's demonic. It's an imitation of the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven, folks. They believe Mary's the queen of heaven. You see that? It's an imitation. It's a counterfeit. It's all demonic to get the focus off of Christ. You see, she's the queen. You see, Jesus is the King of Kings. You see that? The assumption, the ascension of Christ, it's a counterfeit. That's all it is. And that's the way the devil works. He tries to get your eyes off of Jesus Christ. Number 45, the last thing in this list, 1965 AD, Mary proclaimed Mother of the Church by Pope Paul VI. So I remember that. She's not my mother, folks. So you've listened here today, folks. I went through a list. 45 different items, 45 different heresies and inventions of the Roman Catholic Church. And the one thing you got to come away with, ladies and gentlemen, this is not biblical Christianity. This has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is all about the Church of Rome and how they are trying to seduce people. It's all about Rome. They want to rule, folks. That has never left them. They want the Pope to reign on high. That's why you see all this organization, this seduction, this unity with the Church of Rome. Remember the ECT document that took place, Evangelicals and Catholics Together in 1994. It's hard to believe. It's like 27 years ago. Hard to believe, folks. But little by little, the Church of Rome has been infiltrating the regular church, the Protestant church, the evangelical church. People don't even bat an eye anymore. And then you had the Roman Catholic Charismatic Movement. I was in that also for a short season, a little more livelier at church, but it's still Roman Catholic. They still believe in that Eucharist. They still believe that is the body, blood, and soul, divinity of Jesus Christ. That's heresy. So don't fall for that Roman Catholic thing either, folks. So this is where we are today. And this is why I wanted to bring this forth to you today. I want you to see, want you to hear with your ears the heresies and the inventions of the Roman Catholic Church. Be blessed.